playing Sorry with Jeremy from Kentucky on Hump Day. How are you guys doing? Made it halfway through the week. Next week's Christmas, isn't it? Yeah. I just decorated. I pulled the little 3-foot Christmas tree out of the closet, stuck it on the table, and plugged it in. Man, it looks good right by my wood stove. Not too close, though. That's my decorating for the year. Took 30 seconds. Anyway, we're continuing on here doing phone-in Wednesday. Open line Wednesday on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Upper left menu button. Smash donate. Send money. Also, you can go to the online store and buy those last-minute Christmas gifts that I know you don't want to go shopping for. And it's not because of Hoax 19. It's just because who wants to go shopping, right? I don't. I would much rather order something from RBN and just have it delivered. But I do like to get out and about and see Christmas parades and go to nice restaurants and ignore the COVID hoax and not wear a mask. That's always a lot of fun. Anyway, you can give me a call tonight and discuss some of the things that we've had on the show as of late. You know, we had the William from Montana on Monday night. Discussed some China ops, the Chi-Coms. Dr. Slattery discussing the election and fraud and the possibilities of fighting back. Give me a call at 512-248-8252. We also have the chat room in plain sight. chatango.com, set up by our very own Mer Bailey. Thank you, Mer. Site is spelled SITE when you type that in. And speaking of that election, it is not over, officially verified by the media. Since election day, we've been getting just media after media after media that it's over. It's President-elect Biden and Harris, the first female VP. Pay no attention to that orange man with the blonde comb over. It is over. But thehill.com. Now, this popped up today. I was doing my duty monitoring Rush Limbaugh so that I can get my finger on the pulse of conservative America. And he covered this article. Rush, surprisingly, also covered the Slattery plan in its entirety. Everything that Patrick and I talked about last night, you know, about this being possibly thrown into the House. And so it was very interesting to see that. I know Rush's people listen to our show. I know they do. Ever since I got on Rush a couple of years ago and hit him with the USS Liberty, he's been monitoring me just to see what I'm up to, trying to stay one step ahead of me. But anyway, thehill.com covered this. And the headline is very interesting. As the phone takes forever to pull up. No, Biden has not won yet. Wow. Wait a minute. Take that article. Take the headline in. No, Biden hasn't won yet. From thehill.com. One more nightmare scenario. So they go on to write, with the Supreme Court's rejection of the Texas lawsuit, it's over, right? Not so fast. Trump has one more card to play. Depending on whether Republicans in Congress are more loyal to Trump than they are to the country. You guys know what that statement's all about. You know what media gaslighting is. You're very well trained. And you're very intelligent. You don't fall for this. But you see what they're doing to the American public. So the comparison here is if Republicans in Congress are going to contest this, then they're not loyal to the country. That's what they just said. They just said it in a tricky little way that the average normie con will not catch. Anyway, going on to read. After the electoral votes are cast, they have to be accepted by Congress, by law. The House and Senate meet together on January 6th. And if any state's ballots are challenged by one member of the House and Senate, the chambers must meet separately and vote on the challenge. given that 126 members of Congress signed on to the Texas lawsuit to overturn Joe Biden's victory, and that many GOP senators have not accepted Biden as the president-elect, some states are going to be challenged. Yeah, do you think? Let's point out some more gaslighting here. To overthrow Joe Biden's victory. Well, Joe Biden didn't have a victory. This is a contested election, and no one's trying to overthrow anything. They're trying to bring to light that there was fraud, and they're trying to remedy the situation constitutionally. Aren't you glad you're not a normicon? Aren't you glad that you can browse through these articles like myself, and you can see what they're doing? You can see their manipulation. I don't want to read the entire article because they're basically covered with Patrick and I covered last night, but it's just interesting that Rush covered this today. He's been sort of staying away from it since the Supreme Court declined to take up the Texas lawsuit. And, you know, maybe that was strategic. I had a little bit of a visceral react on Friday night, if you remember. It did upset me, you know, that no courts are willing to address this. But I suppose no matter what, whether the Supreme Court would have taken it up or not, this is going to go to the House, and that's how it'll be decided. So let's chill out for three more weeks and let this play out and watch the evidence come a-rolling in. Because that's the shot, is for the GOP members who have a spine and a conscience and who actually are loyal to our republic, to the United States of America and its people. It's time for them to file lawsuits, to do committee hearings, and to expose this fraud so that they can pave the way for the House to elect Trump on January 6th. It's the name of the game. Speaking of which, we have some new blood in the GOP. Sweet summer children not yet corrupted. Well, we assume that. This is from One American News, very trusted source. A group of incoming GOP members demand that Speaker Pelosi open an investigation into voting irregularities. That's a nice way to put it, isn't it? Voting irregularities. Something a little irregular about that. About dead people voting and more people voting in counties than are registered and ballot drops at 3 in the morning. It's a little irregular, wouldn't you think? Yeah. How diplomatic. In, more than two dozen GOP representatives elect are demanding that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi launch an investigation into the 2020 election voting irregularities. So these are newly elected Republicans, right? In a letter to the Speaker on Tuesday, the 26 incoming lawmakers said the election process has devolved into chaos. They cited reports of missing or unverified signatures on absentee ballots, restrictions on election observers, and missing voting machine memory cards. The group said their constituents are deeply concerned about the integrity of the election and are demanding that the irregularities be seriously investigated. That's a good thing. We need millions, tens of millions of constituents that are very concerned, and we need them to strike fear into their representatives. Because at the end of the day, even though the oligarchs know that they can smack us down whenever they want, it's not always clear to the rank and file politicians. They know the power of the Jewish-dominated elites, the oligarchs. They know of it. But I don't know if the new ones fully know it. And so they are still a little worried about the people that supposedly put them in office. And, you know, that's a good thing. They're going to come in there all full of piss and vinegar, and they're going to want to fight the good fight. And maybe it'll last through January before they get totally corrupted or, you know, go to that special room where they have illegal relations with minors under video, as seems to be the case with all of our representatives. Something like that happens and they get all sorts of dirt on them. But as of right now, these newly elected GOP members, they're they're ready to charge hell with a water pistol. And let's hope that they keep that up. Speaking of learning to fight, Mitch McConnell, the total traitor and cuckold. You know, a cuckold is a guy that lets his wife have sex with another man, and then he raises the bastard child. There's some other definitions that we won't get into as we try to stay family friendly, but that's kind of the lexicon that we use in the alt-right. That's what a cuck is. So, you know, McConnell is basically allowing America to be screwed as he watches, and he's going to raise the bastard child of that union, of America being totally destroyed. And he's just going right along with it. And Mitch is saying to these Republicans, especially these new ones coming in with their sleeves rolled up and, you know, double-fisted, ready to throw some punches, ready some political punches, ready to go. Mitch is saying that you don't need to fight. We don't need to fight. We don't need to disrupt America, the integrity of the election. We need to welcome the new president-elect and the first female vice president, and just let it all go. It's going to be okay. No, I don't think so, Mitch. Donald Trump called him out too. Benedict McTurtle was totally called out by Trump, saying that you give up too soon. The Republican Party must finally learn to fight. People are angry. Learn to fight, Mitch. Very well said, Donald, but I would have called him a traitorous, spineless POC. But, you know, POS, POC, that's not person of color. That's a piece of crap. We have other headlines here, but before I go on to them, I want to take our first caller for the night. I believe it is an individual from New York, Dave. Dave from New York, welcome to the show. We either have Dave or we have Dan. Whichever one of you is on, say hello. Well, I don't hear anybody, Mike. Tell you what, I'm going to look at the next headline and double check that connection, Mike. I know we have Dave from New York and Dan from Washington waiting to talk. I think my connection's good. So let me know, Mike, and if somebody comes on, just start talking. I'm going to hit the headlines again so we don't have dead air. Anyway, my old guy. Our guy in Kentucky, Rand Paul. Sometimes he's our guy, sometimes he's not. He did, you know, vote to block Trump from building the wall with Pentagon funds because of my constitutional values. A lot of times Rand Paul does the right thing, and he is ready to fight for the Republic. Not even fight for Trump. You don't even have to think of it like that. Let's stop saying fight for Trump. We're not fighting for Trump. Trump's fighting for us. And fighting for the Republic. And I'm sure he has other motivations too, like he doesn't want to get arrested and sent to prison because of charges in the Southern District of New York. But whatever his motivations, he's fighting to keep the Republic. And Rand Paul is too. Senate GOP leaders implore Rand Paul and others not to make them vote on the Electoral College challenge. So they're putting the pressure on Rand, and they wouldn't be doing this if Rand wasn't ready to fight. And this is from the independent.uk. Oh, Mike says the callers are there. So let me just finish this article by saying that, yes, Rand Paul is saving the good name of Kentucky, of the Commonwealth of Kentucky, as Mitch McConnell tries to destroy it and soil it. So thank you, Rand. Now I'm kind of sorry that guy knocked you off the lawnmower and broke your ribs, guy. Give me a call. I'll teach you how to fight, like physically. All right, let's go to our callers. Dave from New York. Mike says we have callers. Dave, can you hear me?
Oh, got through this time.
Hey,
yeah,
couldn't hear you before.
Yeah, I know. It didn't do the beep that it always does when you go on. We just got a bunch of snow up here. I'm in upstate New York, not in the city, and I'm sure it's different down there in Kentucky. It was a rather shock because it's only been 50 degrees some other days before here recently. So I found your guest the other night, William, to be very well informed, and I appreciated the way he said that we haven't nailed everything down about this. You know, he admitted that we really don't know exactly what's going on with the COVID thing in all respects. It was interesting. He mentioned Mr. Lieber, who is the head of the chemical and biology department at Harvard, getting arrested earlier this year. And that was rather surprising to me. The funny thing is, I was at the University of Rochester when I believe he spoke one time. And a few years later, after I'd left the chemistry department, I was in grad school there. He was awarded the Harrison Howell Award at the University of Rochester, which I think about a third of those recipients of that award go on to win the Nobel Prize. The very first one was Linus Pauling, who I think he won two Nobel Prizes. So the guy was doing very well, but I think the nanotechnology connection to the vaccines and supplying to the drug companies to make vaccines is rather concerning, extremely concerning, and it fits in with much of the descriptions of the vaccine components and dangers that we've heard from so many doctors.
Yes.
So I appreciate you had him on.
Yeah, let me interject this real quick before you move on to your next point. Lieber,
no problem.
That's a guy that I researched. You know, before I had this show, I did a show, or I still do a show with Patrick Slattery on National Bugle every Wednesday. We call it the Patrick and Jeremy Show. We had uncovered the connection with Professor Lieber, who is a Jewish American from Harvard, and his connection with the Wuhan lab, and his connection with Moderna, who has an Israeli top scientist named Zaks, who did work with Israel on developing vaccines. And then also Lieber is connected with Bill Gates and Fauci. So it's just a nice little, trail of these evil people that are, we don't know what they're up to, but we can definitely see some of their plans being unfolded now, destroying economies, putting out weird DNA-altering vaccines. But yeah, we did cover that before. William and Patrick and I are usually on the same page, even when we do independent research. Yeah, William's a wealth of knowledge.
Mm, yeah. I appreciate that. It's funny, when I was at the university, I did feel the Chinese. I mean, there were a lot of Chinese students there. But you also heard about some professors dealing with China and probably getting funding for some of their stuff. And that's one of those, that's the concern here. It's got to go a lot deeper than just Professor Lieber.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was getting lots of money and that he did not disclose, and I guess that's why they arrested him. But, you know, I tend to think
he forgot all about that.
Yeah. Hey, we got music coming up. Let me hit you on the other side of the break. We'll get your parting comments.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Band is Volbeat. It's called Heaven or Hell. Anyway, the reason I think Lieber was thrown under the bus, you know, our CIA was investigating the Thousand Talents program in the Wuhan lab, and so this guy was being watched very carefully. And then also, our CIA works for the Israeli Mossad. Lieber being a Israeli American, I think that he was maybe letting out a little too much info, and they threw him under the bus and indicted him for taking that money that he didn't disclose while he was getting federal grants. And they tried to do away with him. That's my take on it. But go ahead and give me your take, and then we got a stack full of callers here. We'll move on after you get hit me with your point.
Yeah, I don't know much more about it, except that it must be a lot deeper going down the rabbit hole on this one than just Mr. Lieber's involvement. I did want to bring up briefly about Mike Adams. He's come out with all these situation updates every day. Maybe you followed them some. I think sometimes he gets really extreme on things, but it seems like he might be getting some good information here. One thing he said is that Trump must convince America before January 6th that the election was stolen. And I guess maybe you could explain the rationale for that. I suspect that maybe that would just prevent people going crazy and being extremely violent. That's why he needs to do that. I mean, he doesn't need to do that, but for the protection of the people, he does. And time is running short for him to invoke the Insurrection Act. Well, and seize all the evidence. But I think if the Department of Justice and military were to have to get involved, beyond the Senate or the House meeting that could happen. That this would be a proper use of the Patriot Act and the Insurrection Act would, I mean, you'd have people being put away with limited amount of evidence, I suspect. The third thing he mentioned was that Xi Jinping tells the Chinese troops to prepare for war. Do you think there's any validity in that?
I definitely do concerning the Xi Jinping telling them to prepare. You know, America's been rattling the saber with China for lo these many moons, and you know, they had the CIA staged fake Hong Kong riots, and then shortly after that, the COVID-19 thing went down in 2020. So I think that Xi is just, you know, preparing for just in case something goes down. I don't think we're going to go to conflict with China. Surely the oligarchs aren't that crazy. It would be a proxy war in Africa if I were to give my best educated guess. You know, as far as the other points, yeah, it is deeper than Lieber because they've arrested Lieber. Obviously, he was a lower-level individual that was expendable, and he was about to give out information that they didn't want or he already had. So I think, yeah, that it is much deeper, and I'm not holding the Chinese totally innocent here. And like I said, I get William on here and I get Patrick on here. They kind of have some opposing points of views on some things about China, and I like to get both points of view. And I'm pro-American. I'm American all the way. The founding of this country, the Constitutional Republic, and like you said, right now we're losing that. As far as the information, or, you know, between now and January 6th, I think the main purpose of that is I think the Trump campaign knew that these judges were going to throw his lawsuits out. And I'm not sure how much they knew on the Supreme Court, but all nine judges in the SCOTUS were on the same page. And so the Trump campaign must have known that they were going to throw that out and that it was just kind of for show. What I think is going down is between now and January 6th, there's going to be much, much more evidence. There's more lawsuits, and they're preparing the GOP in the House to get a backbone and to see that there's great public support for the House to vote Trump in office should it come to that. That's what I think is the deal here. The left is going to be violent no matter what. If they put this up, yeah. If they give Trump this presidency, rioting and looting is going to be an understatement. I don't know what we're in for, but I think that's where we're at. But,
right.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave.
One thing I'd like to watch with Trump is merely the vaccine issue, whether he's going to investigate the COVID deaths and all this, audit all this information, and whether he's going to push the vaccine as is shown on the back of the Abraham Accord coin, which bears his signature, with all the tracking and biometrics symbols that are on the back of that coin. So Trump isn't out of the woods in my mind as someone I'm going to trust, but I'd really like him to preserve the union. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, Dave. And I, too, am very critical of Trump pushing these vaccines, and I think he did it just for political reasons. I really do not think he would do any kind of national mandate. I think he would just leave it up to the states, whereas Biden and Harris would do a national mandate. Coming up on the break, and we'll be back after with our next caller, which is Dan. It reaches into where I cannot
hide. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new Easy 4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
In plain sight on the Public Broadcasting Network. We have Dan from Washington up next. Dan, how are you, my friend?
Hey, good. How's it going tonight?
Doing great. Wood stove is cranked up. Just poured me a little bourbon, too, so it's going to be a cozy night. What do you got on your mind?
I'm starting to get your theme song stuck in my head. I don't know who sings that one. It's a pretty good song, though.
The opening song?
Yeah,
that is a rare one. That's actually from Transformers the Movie, the 1986 animated special. Yeah.
I was going to say, dude, I was like, this, I never heard them before. But it sounds like an older song.
It is. The band is called Spectre General. I don't think they did a lot after that, but it was... I've put a lot of Transformers and movie songs in these shows if people know to catch them. But yeah, I think it gets me pumped.
Yeah, it's a good opening. I sounded pretty down the other night. I think regardless of what happens with Trump, I don't like that issue aside. Like say he's not president, and Rush Limbaugh is probably going to pass away pretty soon. So that leaves, when Rush Limbaugh goes, the entire conservative movement, as we've known it since Reagan, I think it just needs to go away. We need to get rid of it, because I think you're more of a populist and a nationalist. You know, you might be more like the guys on TRS are pretty much national socialist. But if you want to go a more conservative route, you could say, you could take over for Rush Limbaugh is what I'm saying. And really, cause there's a vacuum there. And, I had a show suggesting you should get Don Advo on because he's really knowledgeable about tariffs and economics. And, my point of view for a long time is you could put a 10% tariff on all the imports and you would probably create 10 million jobs in America. So bringing the jobs back is really that simple, except people like Limbaugh and Fox or all the, you know, all these people, if you ask them why the jobs went to China, they're going to have 20 different answers. And I think that's on purpose to confuse you, because to confuse us, the conservative movement, it's really just tariffs. So, you know, Rush Limbaugh will say, oh, no, it's the unions. No, it's minimum wage. Or Ann Coulter will come out and say, if you got rid of all the environmental rules, the jobs would come back. You know what I mean? Have you heard that for the past 20 years? Like, when people ask why the jobs went to China or why they, you know, it's really simple. It's tariffs. And I think Don Advo is really knowledgeable about that. So what do you think about that, tariffs?
Total in agreement with tariffs. Speaking of Advo, I'm in touch with him. We talked on personal conversations. He was scheduled to be on the show last month and he got sick. And so he called me back and said that he's, you know, he's an older gentleman. I think he's in his mid-70s. And so I said, well, when you're ready to, you know, you're in good health, give me a call. And I had him ready to go. We were going to talk about, you know, self-defense, the legalities of it, Kyle Rittenhouse and the McCloskeys in St. Louis. We had all that on the docket. And he got sick and now we've got the holidays, so I'll keep reaching out to him. And but he agreed to be on the show, but he hadn't been on Stormfront lately either. So
I've been staring at him, but he's really knowledgeable. I heard him talking about tariffs before, and he's very knowledgeable about how the leaders and the, you know, American presidents in the past were way more populist, you know. And the average tariff rate in America historically was about 25%. So, you know, if you go back to like 1890, it was about 25%. So if you can research the average tariff rate. It wasn't until about 1990 where it went to zero. So when you look at the graph of the average tariff rate in America, it just goes exactly with the jobs going overseas. You know what I mean?
And look at this graph.
Yeah.
No, I got you.
Yeah, and that's why I almost think Rush Limbaugh has been put there for the past 20 years just to not talk about tariffs.
You had a lot of comments there. Let me respond real quick. We do have a stack of callers, and If you would, Dan, hang on. I don't know if you can do this, Mike, but get with Dan and get his phone number. And we might have to you've been a loyal caller, and we have such good conversations. We might have to do like a show or something sometime and hash all this out. But so before you hang up, get with Mike when we go to the next caller, because I got lots of them. But as far as that, yeah, I mean, Rush, he, with all of his faults – he has been the voice of white conservative America. Now, he would never say that. But with, you know, 40 to 50 million listeners since the Trump campaign, before Trump, he only had like 15 million. And then, like, it's basically like most of the Trump voters started listening to him. He has this power that his job is to bring white conservative America to the edge of the truth and then redirect them. That having been said, he's done a lot of good. And then he has kept people from reaching the full truth, and tariffs would be definitely the way to go. But, you know, they've sold us out since 1965. You know, it was the 70s and 80s, as a lot of the older audience remember, that we had Walmarts being built in every major and small town, bringing in all of this foreign crap. And now we've got Dollar Generals on every, I mean, you can't throw a dead cat and not hit a Dollar General. They're everywhere, yep. Dude. And they're importing all this cheap stuff. So there's no mom and pop business that's going to compete with them. The whole thing has gone so out of control. It's hard to redirect it now. It's hard to bring it back. But a good president, populist president that would do tariffs would be what we need. And we thought that's what Trump was going to do. And maybe he tried and was just, avalanched with the system. But at any rate, our fight now for the Republic, and I guess that's where I diverge from TRS, is that they want it to crash, the whole thing to crash, so that we can get to the next page of some sort of an ethno-state, national socialism. And I think if it crashes, we're at a point of no return. And that's where I would diverge from them. But I know you listen to both of us, and you got a lot of good commentary. So I hate to move you on, but hit me with
Cool. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Yeah, try to get with Mike. See if you can catch his phone number and text it to me, and we'll set up a show. All right. And moving on, we have Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi.
You were talking about McConnell. His wife, her name's Elaine Chao, right?
Yes.
And I remember when she got confirmed as transportation secretary that her family's in shipping. Is her family from Taiwan or the mainland?
That I'm not sure of. I've never done a deep look into her history. But
it's
go ahead.
It's
fun
to look
point.
Into it, isn't it? All this stuff
I think
about
so.
Chinese spies.
And like I said, I don't downplay anything. I mean, I'm sure China is on the defensive and maybe even on the offensive, because America has, pushed back against them. But it was American politicians like Clinton and Bush that allowed the Chinese to be powerful and that exported all of our jobs. And Obama was ready to go TPP, which would have been NAFTA and overdrive, and would have further wrecked our situation in America. So I don't want to downplay them, but what I will say is that the Jewish dominated system in America has been fully entrenched. And we have AIPAC, the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, the most powerful foreign lobby in the world, lobbying our Congress. We don't have CHIPAC. We don't have the Chinese American Public Affairs. It's AIPAC. So I think if China's a threat, and I'm willing to entertain that, they're an exterior threat because we push them into it. We've had an interior threat for decades, and that's who McConnell's getting paid by, I guarantee you, is the Jewish lobby. But go ahead, Sherry. Hit me with some more comments.
I've been following the Israeli AIPAC deal for a long time. I used to get the spotlight, and then the American Free Press, and that's really where I got woke up to that. I heard someone on another network the other day say that, it was on John Moore's show. He sat in for John Stadtmiller last night, and the guy he has on is regularly this guy that has Israeli news. And he was saying that the Mossad told him that Mossad was working with the Chinese, and they're basically working to, saying that it's China's turn to be the dominant world thing there.
I have no doubt of that. As a matter of fact, Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you listen to my show on Monday night, if you didn't catch it, pull up the archive. This past Monday, I had William from Montana, and I mentioned that to William. I'm like, yeah, if it, well, okay, you heard it, so that you, well, go back and listen to it.
It's my bedtime a lot to stay up this late.
We'll try to be more exciting next time. But no, I was bringing up the point that that Jewish dominated power has been entrenched in America for so many decades, and that the Jewish power sees the Chinese power as a rival. And so William brought up the point that, well, it is, you know, Jewish power working with Chinese power now. If you can't beat them, join them. Maybe that's what it is. So, you know, your point with the Mossad working with China, maybe that there's something there. I just don't want to get too much on the China thing and be distracted from relevant issues that are right in our face, you know, such as the election fraud. But it can't be ignored, and it is open for discussion. But Sherry, I appreciate your comments. We got way more callers stacking up here. Call back soon and drink you some hot coffee next time we do an in-depth show, so you don't miss it. All right, thanks a lot, Sherry. And we have Vinny from Indiana. Vinny, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hey, I wanted to talk about what you talked about today with Patrick Slattery about Mike Pence. Obviously, Mike Pence is a key player, but, you know, people got very disappointed in John Roberts not taking up the Texas case and showing some leadership. But if you knew John Roberts' background when he got appointed to the Supreme Court, there are a lot of reasons for people who never have any real hope in John Roberts. I mean, he was picked at a time when Karl Rove was doing the Guys, Guns, and Gays, and gays were all upset. Oh my gosh, John Roberts, he's gonna give us a hard time. But you know, behind the scenes, it was Paul Singer and the Koch brothers and the libertarian, you know, globalists who really were behind John Roberts getting on the court. So anything that's happened with John Roberts as far as Obergefell to this Texas case, I mean, that was, should be no surprise. But if you look into some of the things about John Roberts' background, you know, he didn't get married until he was 41, and there are all sorts of photos with him, and I'm not going to go into it, but there's plenty of reasons. Mike Pence's situation is he got into politics through talk radio. He was a local. He had, like, I think 12, 18 different stations. He had his own show. He was kind of he called himself a decaffeinated version of Rush Limbaugh. He got picked up by a guy, MS Communications, which is run by Jeff Smolian. They have a big offices here in Indianapolis. Jeff Smolian is an ultra-Zionist neocon. When Rush Limbaugh backed Trump in 2016, he immediately dropped Rush Limbaugh. Okay, he was a big Ted Cruz, Rubio, Carly Florina backer. I mean, you know, the Republican Party should be the Washington Generals and just lose. You know, he was against any kind of populism, any kind of nationalism. So Pence got into the Bush administration, and for years he was an open borders pro, you know, mass immigration guy. And but you know, he is from Indiana, and how he knows he has to kind of watch Indiana politics. But Pence really didn't. He did some things like trying to hold the line against, you know, the whole LGBT agenda, but he really didn't have a lasting influence. So I'm, you know, where's Pence been the last week? He just went to Israel. Okay. So, I mean, Slattery has made a good point. Pence is key in this whole thing, but I don't want people to get, you know, I would love for Pence, if he wants to stay in politics, he has to back Trump. But he could always go back to his career in broadcasting. So, you know, I think people have to, I don't want people to be overly disappointed. I did go to the Trump rally. I did go to the Stop the Steal rally in Indianapolis. It was very inspiring. And if things don't work out, I think those can continue and really become a political force.
Well, thank you for your service, Vinny. That's what we call it. Everyone to do is get out to these rallies and show their support for the Republic by
when I go, if I go in next time, we have them this weekend, I'll take them. I'll pick up the megaphone and I'll say, hey, you know, we got to start watching. People are really angry about the media. And, you know, we need to get people, hey, mention Patrick Flattery, mention Jeremy from Kentucky, you know, get on RBN, you know. So people were doing that. I just, you know, it was, there were a lot of people picking up the microphone. So, you know, the megaphone. So if I get out there this weekend, I'll try to do that.
Well, again, thank you for your service, Vinny. And I appreciate your call. We will be moving on. We've got a few more callers, but in regards to Pence was dyed in the wool, you know, neocon Christian Zionist, and Trump picked Pence, I believe, to gain the Christian vote, the mainstream Christian vote in 2016.
Absolutely.
And it worked. It worked. And yeah. So where are his loyalties now? That's a good question.
Good question.
We will see. But thank you, Vinny, for your call, and call back again earlier soon. William from Montana, and then we have one more caller after you. William, welcome, my friend.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey.
Yeah, I really, really thought Dave hit it on the nail when he said there's probably a lot more to this than meets the eye in terms of this virus. And the only reason why I sort of dwell on this virus and all the shenanigans that went down and how there was a lot of very strange cooperation between a lot of scientists in the United States and in China is that this biological agent, you know, this coronavirus, even though it's not deadly, it certainly has been very deadly when you consider all the excuses, you know, that's been nailed onto it. You know, like all of this stuff that we have had happen to us, including the election fraud. The whole, you know, every time you heard anything about all of these changes at the state level with no legislational, no legislation, it was just sort of by edict. It was all based on this, you know, like if we don't do this, people are going to go and stand in line and catch coronavirus and die. And I think when Dave said that there must be something more to this, when we were talking about, well, why did they throw Lieber under the bus? You know, how did that happen? Well, if you actually dig a little bit deeper into this, you will find that one of the things they had to do to him, he knew too much because he had been working. Basically, you know, the big key thing is that he got a lot of funding from Fauci, you know. And if you at this thing, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, which is a part of the National Institute of Health, and if you go back and look at, I mean, Fauci has been in charge of this thing, this large division, $6 billion a year budget. And he was involved, if you really look into it, he's been involved in the director since 85. And he was involved in a lot of stuff related to Ebola, Zika. And one of the things that really was starting to come to the surface was that there was a big movement among scientists that said, we've got to stop this biological weapons research, because if any of this stuff gets out, they said, well, we have to research it because our enemies are researching it. But if you look at this coronavirus, it's what's called a chimera virus. And this is a virus where you actually go in and, you know, they said, well, you got coronavirus because people were eating bat soup. Well, no. Everything that you, if you look at this very closely, you'll see that they actually took nucleic acid fragments from two or more microorganisms, and they were joining it together experimentally to see if they could get these very deadly viruses to be able to jump from human to human. You know, they were their animals had them. and they were very serious, and if they could just get enough nucleic acid fragments, DNA fragments, to sort of help it jump to the humans, they could develop a real dangerous bioweapon. And there was actually legislation that was passed in 89 that said, we got to stop this. And there was a big program at Fort Detrick, which is our biological weapons lab in Maryland. And but they also, there was conducting research in Winnipeg, I think it was Winnipeg. And that was a very high security lab. It's what's called BSL-4. And it basically, they said there's a lot of evidence that people are trying to put together that said all this stuff went up there. And then it also went to another lab in North Carolina. And when the Congress and various agencies said, we got to stop this research, this biological warfare agent, that's when Fauci gave quite a bit of money to Lieber to basically set up this lab in Wuhan. And there's more and more evidence is starting to come out that the reason he did this was to continue this biological warfare research. Again, from his point of view, well, we have to do this because bad people are doing things, and we need to know what they're doing and how to stop it. But I think that's the reason why they threw Lieber under the bus, is that he knew a lot, and they needed to make sure that he took the fall for it instead of someone of Fauci's standing or even higher. So
good,
that's just
good
my
point.
Comment.
And we need to do that follow-up show because it sounds like you got more information. Hit me with an email and let me know what night. I'm open
for
Thursday,
sure.
Friday this week or yep. any night next week. Just hit me up, man. You got a
Thank
lot
you.
More to share, and I want to get
Thank
you on.
You.
Thanks a lot, William. Last call of the night, we got Josh from New York. Josh, last few minutes are yours. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. Hey. I just wanted to say about, the China thing. Until I was able to give Tucker a pass on it, but once he started just completely ignoring the election fraud, I mean, this China stuff, it's unforgivable. The idea that China is, co-opting, I guess, working to do, destructive things to our country, it is true to an extent, but first of all, it's being allowed to happen by the elite here, you know? And
yep.
and not
that,
only
that,
that's
a point.
The difference
between... I was just going to say, that's a point that I brought up before. The show is over. Josh, call in early tomorrow night, and we'll catch more of your comments, man. Sorry we had to cut you off. See you tomorrow night, guys.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.